So, hello, and I haven't started recording yet. I've clicked the start recording button. Has it started recording? I think it started recording. I am obviously an incredibly professional presenter, and here I am on Magic the Judging, episode number something, where something is probably about 9 by now. Let's flip the camera on. Hello, hello everybody. Hello all the early users in the live stream. Hello to everybody watching this recorded. Do apologise if the video quality goes a little bit awry. I've restarted the stream once already due to bandwidth issues and connection issues. So fingers crossed we're going to get to the end of this one without any more problems. But hey, if it all goes completely wrong, I can always re-record it or something. It's being confirmed in the chat, and this is why I love live streaming so much, is the chat. I talk, and eventually people can type back to me, and there's a whole kind of feedback cycle going on, and it's being confirmed in the chat that yes, this is episode 9 of Magic the Judging, nearly into double digits, which is quite amazing, really, for me to stick at a project quite this long, but there you go. Now, I had originally promised you a treatise on layers. I'm not going to visit those this week. I'm very sorry about that. I had completely neglected to mention or indeed remember that I wasn't at work at all last week. I was having an absolutely fantastic Easter holiday, and whilst I took the Tuesday evening off of my holiday, as it were, to do the stream last week, I didn't think about anything judge-related. Well, I certainly wasn't preparing a Layers episode. And as I'm sure you can imagine, Layers needs quite a good treatment. It's a complicated subject, wouldn't like to do it half-heartedly. So rather than do it half-heartedly now, I'm going to try a better version of it next week and give you something else this week. Thankfully, I've been saved by the bell, as it were, by the Magic Judge Monthly March issue being completed. Now, a little bit of history on this project to begin with. It used to be known as the DCI Judge L mailing list summaries, where DCI Judge L was the name of a mailing list, which every certified judge, I believe, is a member of. And you should be at least receiving emails from the DCI Judge list monthly. You receive mailing from the mailing list probably every day. Most people are in that kind of digest mode where they receive one email a day. Some people receive every single message. It can lead to quite a lot of traffic, but certainly there's enough traffic for you to be able to get a message once every day. Now there's a lot of traffic, of course, on the list. And so a project was begun. I don't remember when. I want to say this time last year. I think that's probably accurate. Ricardo Testori's idea, and he said, why don't we create a monthly summary of what happens on the mailing list? So if you're a slightly lapsed judge, you're not keeping up to date, not putting all the effort to keep up to date as well as you can, you've been away from the community for a little while, you want to catch up with what's going on, we thought it'd be really handy if you'd have a 1 month like window of which to read a summary of what had happened in the mailing list. Now, it's snowballed since then. I started recording a podcast version of the summaries. We have expanded. So that was after I finished being editor, and which is far too much work. But Stefan Ledstatter, I'll try and pronounce his name. Stefan Ledstatter took over the editing of that one, which is fantastic. So the scope of the DCI Judge L mailing list summaries kind of increased a little bit to take in a little bit more of the whole what's going on in the judge community. Each of the months. So it's not really just a summary of the DCI Judge L mailing list anymore. So it's being renamed for this month, and I think I'm actually getting this stream out before it's been posted to the mailing list. So we're now calling it the MJM, the Magic Judge Monthly, and this is the March 2012 issue. So, enough history. Let's get on to the contents of the actual thing. Let's have a look. I'm literally just going to be like scrolling down the announcement that will be coming out on the global mailing list later. Just kind of getting hang on, the broadcasting stopped. Has it? No? Something went really weird on the computer just then. But I'm just going to carry on. And somebody in the chat will tell me if it's actually gone wrong. I trust you guys to do that. Okay, so yes, I'm just going to like scroll down the announcement that will be going out on the mailing list later. I've got kind of advanced access to it. And we'll just get through that and see what comes up. Okay, so it's probably the majorly important. Oh, hello, Charlotte. Woo, hello, Charlotte in the chat. Nice to see you. Well, chat to you, and so on. And Simon and Charlie, I can see in the chat as well. It's lovely to have you guys here again. I do love it, I really do. Okay, so probably the most major thing to happen in March was the update of the Infraction Procedure Guide, the IPG. It was deliberately delayed from its ordinary kind of release date in order to not confuse a bunch of events that were happening at the end of March. So we now have a new IPG. It goes effective on April the 12th, which is the day after tomorrow. It's worthwhile reading. If you didn't realise there's a new IPG out, then you've still got 2 days to catch up on it before you have to implement any of it. Especially if you're involved in any of the World Magic Cup qualifiers that are happening this weekend. I know we've got a whole bunch of them in the UK on this weekend, so it will definitely be effective by then. So yes, if you're involved in WMCQ and you didn't realise there's a new IPG, get it, download it, have a look at it. I'm not going to go into detail on missed triggers in this stream. I'm going to have to leave that my treatment of missed triggers till some point in the future. But if you thought you knew about missed triggers, then as of this weekend, you almost certainly don't anymore. They've had a massive revision, and you need to go and look at the IPG. You need to do it. This is, of course, only if you are a competitive level judge. If you're a judge who will be involved in a competitive level tournament at some point soon. For those of you at regular, I don't really think anything's changing much. Might be. Overriding philosophy is that you kind of don't have to point out your opponent's triggers anymore, except at regular we had to do them anyway. So yeah, not really going to be changing for you FNM judges out there. Okay, there was some content discussions about the Judge Wiki. So this may be news to you. There is a Judge Wiki. I'll try and give you the URL. I don't have a simple way of putting text up here. I probably should work on that. I like chuck it into Paint or something. The URL for the Judge Wiki is a wiki, wiki dot internationalmagicjudges.net. And if you go there, you'll find a whole host of judge information on there. We've updated topics recently on deck checks, on judging at your first GP, and tournament announcements. And with thanks to various people for doing those. Just quickly, Derek Landini, Ryan Dobesh, and Mackenzie Stratford worked on those. Thank you very much to someone's just put the URL in the chat for me, which is fantastic. I've now clicked the allow links button so you won't get banned for doing it. So yes, deck checks, judging at your first GP and tournament announcements have all been kind of reworked. It's also the announcement here says that thanks to Christian Gavrilovic and Jürgen Bert for providing additional support to this. This project's still ongoing. The wiki, I imagine projects on the wiki will always be ongoing. That's kind of the nature of the wiki. Whilst we're always playing catch up, we're trying to document what it is that we do as judges. So yeah, go and check out those wiki pages. If you have any suggestions for improvement, let somebody know. It's a wiki, you can edit it yourself if you've got an account, which I think you can do quite simply now, just by registering on the wiki. So yeah, go do that. Speaking of International Magic Judges, which is the website that's hosting the wiki currently, It's trying to become the website for magic everywhere, trying to replace everything, and it's getting there on a month-by-month basis. This month, they're mainly working on the Pro Tour and Grand Prix staff lists, so I'm trying to show you photos of who's going to be at what event. And they're going to be working next month on introducing a Card of the Month feature. Now, it says you can check all the monthly updates here, where here is, again, it's internationalmagicjudges.net. It says Article 1565. I haven't got an easy way to put links up on the stream. But yes, clicking on it, it shows you that, yes, IMJ is a work in progress. And there's some text from Ricardo telling you exactly what we're working on and how you can get involved if you want to help. So if you do want to help and you don't have another outlet to unleash your creative energy on, then go for that. What else happened on the mailing list? Christian Gavrilovic announced the winner of the Judge Article of the Year. There were four contestants for the final voting. So how this works is there's a whole bunch of articles arranged under different topics, and there was a separate vote for each topic. So there was a winner for, I don't actually remember the different categories now, but for each category you get a winner, and the winners of each of the categories were put forward into a final voting for Judge Article of the Year. So with congratulations to the other finalists, who were David de la Iglesia, Fabian Peck and Justin Turner. Major congratulations go to Matteo Caligari of Italy, who won the Judge Article of the Year vote with his article, Working Together for a Better Community, the Italian Magic Judges website. So kind of interesting that the winning Judge Article of the Year is about the website that I've just been talking about. There we go. In March, there were some more judge articles released. I'm trying to look at the links as I'm reading about them to try and tell you where they are. Are they all on the wiki? No, one of them's on Blackboarder. Okay, so there's a brief history of certification. If you, it says certification, the first 10 years. If you're interested in the certification process, how it's changed over time, you might be interested in David Hibbs' article, and that's on the International Magic Judges wiki. Also on the wiki is a article from Derek Landini about running deck verification procedures, which is nice. And there's a report on Blackboarder, so this is at blackboarder.com. And in fact, what I suggest you do is go to blackboarder.com and search for Ricardo Testori. He has written some really good good write-ups of tournaments that he's been the head judge of. This one's particularly about GP Indianapolis, with special mention of cards like High Tide and Trinisphere and backups, because there was a fairly high-profile backup in the top eight of GP Indianapolis. If you want to know more about that one, then go and search up Ricardo Tessitore on blackboarder.com. A couple of things that I got out of that article, just to give you a taste of what that article was like. Here's an interaction that I'd never thought of before. Moon Mist is a card that transforms all humans. The reason why I hadn't particularly thought about this much is because of all the double-faced cards, they tend to have human front faces and werewolf back faces, and obviously Moon Mist is a card very much aimed at werewolf decks. Something I hadn't considered is that Insectile Aberration is a human insect. Still, on the flip side, on the back side, it is a human. So if you were to cast Moon Mist with an Insectile Aberration out, would it transform? Yes, it would. It would transform back into Delver of Secrets. And amusingly, Delver of Secrets is a human anyway, so Moon Mist would actually cause the transformation either way, depending on what side happened to be out at the time. So, yeah, new cool things about cards. There's a card of the tournament section or something like that where Ricardo talks about Trinisphere a lot. So I like these in-depth looks at cards because you get to look at them from all sorts of different angles. And they can be really, really useful stuff. So if you want to know about those, check those. There's, and I mentioned the backup that happened in the top eight of the tournament. It was all to do with this card, a Meditate. Meditate for 3 mana lets you draw 4 cards, but it has the additional cost. I'm going to call it an additional cost. I think that's officially what it is, of skipping your next turn.
I should probably have a quick check.
I'm going to go to magiccards.info because I like that website. And I'm going to search up Meditate so that alongside the image I can see the Oracle text. And the Oracle text of the card just says, draw four cards, you skip your next turn. Okay, so it's just part of the resolution to Meditate. It's not an additional cost, as I just said. Apologies. So what happened in the top eight is somebody comboing off went from Meditate, drew their four cards, and eventually had to pass a turn over to the opponent, who did some stuff and passed it back. And after a while, somebody noticed that the Meditate player hadn't actually skipped a turn. What would you do in that situation? What would you do if it happened to you? It could happen to you if you were judging at a Pro Tour qualifier this season, which... oh no, that was the modern format. Meditate's not in modern, is it? It's legacy only. Anyway, doesn't matter. What would you do if it happened to you? It's a very interesting question and one you should definitely come to grips with. Let's head back to the Judge magazine. What else has happened? I'm glad Charlotte was in the chat. I get to wave at her, as it were, and say the MTR is now up to date on rules.wizards.com. So, whoops. I want to see that, yeah. So the MTR is it's the Magic Tournament Rules. It's the other document that governs high-level play. We've got the comprehensive rules, which tells you exactly how the game works, why cards do this, they do this, players can do this, and so on. The tournament rules are an additional set of rules that are applied to Magic in a tournament setting. For example, things like the time limit apply to a match. If you're playing Magic casually at the kitchen table, well, the comprehensive rules still kind of apply because they tell you how the game works. You know you're playing Magic if you're doing something that conforms to the comprehensive rules, by and large. I mean, if you get it slightly wrong, you're still vaguely playing Magic, but that's what defines the game. The tournament structure, which includes things like the absolute minimum amount of time that must be given to a round in order for it to be considered a DCI-sanctioned event and have it count for Planeswalker points not being validated and so on. That kind of thing is in the MTR, Magic Tournament Rules. And they're also available on rules.wizards.com, pardon me. So I've shown you this site before because I've used it for searches of the comprehensive rules, but yeah, it's now up to date. Go to rules.wizards.com. In the top bar, set it to Magic Tournament Policy, and you'll get the whole of the tournament rules up. One particular reason why I'm bringing this up, I'm kind of skipping ahead ever so slightly, but sections 2 and 10 of the MTR are tested in, I believe, in level 1 tests, level 1 judge tests. We'll cover sections 2 and 10 of the MTR. 2 is tournament mechanics. I'm just going to read out all of the headings that come under section 2 of the MTR. Match structure, the play and draw rule, like how do you decide who goes first, pre-game procedures, conceding or intentionally drawing games or matches, or IDing as you'll hear it referred to, what happens in the end of match procedure, how time extensions are handled, how deck registration and deck checks are handled, how you appeal to the head judge, drop from the tournament, whether you can take notes, whether you can use electronic devices, and a section on life totals. That's section 2. Section 10 is all about sanctioning rules, so participation minimums. How many people do you need to make a minimally sanctioned Magic event? How many rounds should you play? What kind of invitation-only tournaments are there, and what's the pairing algorithm? I'm pretty sure those last two things about invitation-only tournaments and the pairing algorithm aren't tested at level 1, but participation minimums certainly is. That's a good one to know about. So, yes, I'm not going to go into any great detail about those things, except to say that they're up to date on rules.wizards.com, and when I get to the section about